let's talk about a parable that Christ told. It's the parable of the friend that comes at midnight. It's found in Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 5, if you'd like to read along. So 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, and is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or will, if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So the point of Jesus' parable obviously is that we need to ask God for the things that we're in need of. But let's look at the parable a little bit more closely. The friend comes to you at night, and so you go to your next door neighbor and you ask for loaves of bread because you have someone that you need to feed. And he doesn't want to do it. He's already in bed. The children are in bed. But it says in verse 8 that he won't get up and give you that because he's your friend, but because of this importunity, which is your persistence in asking, he will rise and he'll give you whatever it is that you're in need of. Now, this parable follows Jesus' teaching his disciples how to pray, which we will find in verses 1 through 4 of this same chapter. It's also in Matthew chapter 6. Now, Jesus is demonstrating how God is willing to give us whatever good things we ask of him. He uses the example of how a man comes to a friend's house late at night to ask for some bread. The man's friend's in bed. He doesn't want to be bothered. The fellow, however, persists, which is what importunity means. And finally, the householder gives him the bread that he requests. The reason that he gives the bread is not because of his friendship, but because he would just like to get back to bed and go back to sleep. But it's not that way with God. As we read, that if we ask and seek and knock, we will be able to receive what it is that we're asking for. We'll be able to find what it is that we're seeking for, and the door that we're knocking on will be opened. So it's not that way with God, that he's troubled by our asking. His motive is love. His desire is that we ask him for whatever it is that we need. We need to seek for his deeper spirit. We need to knock or draw on his spirit. If we ask and seek and knock, God will give us all of him that we desire. Jesus went on to talk about the natural example of a father and a son. And here he says that if a son was to ask for something, the father would not refuse the son, and he wouldn't give him something that would hurt him. What he would do is he would give him whatever he needed, and that's because of the love that the father has for his son. So Jesus summarized it by saying, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So the summary that Jesus has here is that if this happens in a world full of evil, where even fathers have evil thoughts within their mind and yet are still able to give their sons good things because they love them, how much more will God provide you all of the things that you need? So what's the admonition? To ask, to seek, to knock, not to give God any rest when we're drawing on things from him, but to continue in our asking until we have all of God that we need to grow within our mind. Now, another parable that's told in the New Testament, Jesus told this one also, and it's found in Luke chapter 14. It starts with verse 16, and it's about a supper. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto them, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house was, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So this is similar to a parable that's in Matthew, but it has a little bit different wording. So here what we have is, this certain man made a great supper and bade many. The certain man is symbolic of God. The supper that he has is symbolic of eating God's word. The drink is symbolic of God's spirit. And when Christ came, he was bringing a deeper depth of God's word and spirit to present to people. It's the same now. There is a supper God has prepared. It's made up of his deeper word and deeper spirit that we can get within our minds. So it is that in the parable, he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come because these things are ready. Well, the servants are God's ministers of the New Testament, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6 that we can be able ministers of the New Testament. These ministers serve out the message, the invitation for people to come and participate in this feast. So what happened when God sent his servants to the religious leaders, for the most part, didn't want to hear it. But God was faithful. They were the ones that had the most of God prior to that time, and so God sent the word to them first. So in 18, 19, and 20, we see the variety of excuses that are made. The first one said, I bought a piece of ground. I have to go and see it, so have me excused. The second one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to go prove them. Have me excused. The third said, I've just gotten married. I can't come to the feast. Have me excused. Well, these verses show the excuses that Satan or the devil puts in people's minds. Particularly, he did this with the religious leaders, but it could even happen in our mind if we're not careful. He does this to keep them from partaking and moving on into a deeper depth of spirit with God. Buying a piece of ground pictures someone that's satisfied with what they have in their own mind. It's like saying, I'm happy where I'm at, thank you. I don't want to go to a deeper depth of spirit. The 5 oxen show the 5 voice gifts operating in ministers' minds, as we have a key scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 that shows us that there are five voice gifts of the ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And Paul tells us fairly clearly that oxen are symbolic of ministers. As he says in 1 Corinthians, does God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, it is written. So, 5 voice gifts operating in the minister's mind, and this is equivalent to saying, I've got teachers, they've taught me, I'll go check it out with them. I'll think about what you're saying, I'll check my commentaries. But this keeps someone in a lesser depth of spirit, even when they have received a witness from God that there is a deeper depth of spirit available. Now, the one man that said, I've married a wife, this wife represents marrying a lesser depth of substance, and that keeps someone from moving on into deeper substance that's being presented to them. So the servant came, and he showed the Lord that no one was coming to this feast. And this made the master of the house very angry. So he said, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the blind, the maimed, the halt. So when God realizes that the ones that were invited first, which would be the religious leaders, when he realizes that they aren't really interested in moving on with him, he turns to the ones that will move on, the hungry people of the world that have not been fed in lesser depths of spirit. These were the people who were spiritually poor. They didn't have much of God. They were maimed, which shows the the different problems that people have within their mind that have been caused by evil in the world. They're halt, they're blind. These are all showing different conditions that people are found in the natural, but spiritually, we're halt or lame when our way of life has been injured. We're blind when we can't see or understand God's word. And these people knew that they needed help spiritually, unlike the religious leaders that thought perhaps they didn't want to risk losing their high position. So in verse 22, the servant says, well, I've done that. I've called them all in and there's still room. And the Lord says unto the servant to go to the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. This shows God calls people. He calls different people at different times and different seasons in the spirit realm. There's plenty of room in the kingdom of God. He won't ever cut someone out of the kingdom because it's too full. The reason that people don't get into the kingdom of God within their mind is always by their own choice not to choose to get God within their mind when he is presented more to them. And Jesus summed up the parable by saying, I say unto you that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. This shows that once God has made a New Testament depth available to the leaders and they reject it, that they lose their opportunity for eternal life. But it doesn't have to be that way with us. We can be meek, which means to be teachable. We can be humble, which means that we don't think that we already know all of God that there is to know. And if we're in that condition of mind, we will be like the poor, the halt, the blind, that we're ready. We know that we don't have what we need, and we're ready to move on when God presents us with something deeper. Have you ever had any spiritual questions? Have you ever looked around you and wondered how the world that we live in got into the awful condition that it's presently in? Have you ever wondered if you could really know and understand God in this life, or will he always be a mystery? Have you wondered, why does God let bad things happen? Isn't he almighty? Why doesn't he just stop that? Perhaps you've wondered who to pray to. Should I pray to God the Father? Should I pray to Jesus the Son? Should I pray to different saints? Why do people die? Is this what God intended? Perhaps you've wondered what happens to us after death. Maybe you've wondered what happens to good people who die that have never heard of Jesus. Have you ever known anyone that committed suicide? If so, you probably wondered if they were lost eternally, because many of us heard that. These are common questions that most of us have had at some point in our life. If you would like answers to those, you can contact us at The Word Church. Please feel free to contact us with any questions that you may have had regarding Bible topics or any information that you may receive from us over the airways. We're always glad for an opportunity to discuss the Word of God with other hungry souls. Perhaps you've had a desire at some point in your life to actually be a minister for God, but you saw no way to accomplish this goal. As you know, Jesus didn't attend a seminary to prepare him for his earthly ministry. The Word Church is a ministry of understanding. We have an intensive program of Bible study. It takes place one-on-one, line upon line, as it tells us in the book of Isaiah. This prepares people to be a minister of God's Word. You may have never thought of it this way, but we're going to minister something out to people. We can either minister evil, if we have that in our mind, or we can grow more God in our mind. We can learn how to separate the evil from us, and we can minister God to the people that we meet. If you're interested in this intensive Bible study, please contact us by letter or phone, and we'll discuss with you how best to begin this program of study. Perhaps at some point in your life, you have wanted to get counseling from a non-judgmental Christian perspective. That is also provided in this ministry.